My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. She also said, Jane, you're a horrible artist. Well, she was right on both counts. And that's the inspiration behind my stupid open hearts collection. Have a look. Kind of reminds you of a pair of upside down boobs and a big fat bottom, doesn't it? Well, it's not. It's the universal symbol of hope and love. Won't you please keep your heart open? It's the only way you'll spend $39.99 to $1,200 for something I doodled on a napkin.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk station. Your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
I was having trouble keeping my small business from failing, so I asked my economist about stimulus.
Stimulus is a remedy for all types of economic dysfunction, commonly known as ED. Stimulus will pump life into the economy by increasing the flow of capital and raising economic activity.
I'm impressed with my new spending package, and demand has never been higher, thanks to stimulus.
Stimulus is not for everyone. Side effects include hyperinflation, wasteful spending, and trillion-dollar deficits. Stop using stimulus if you experience socialism, too much government control over the means of production.
If the economy is in a depression, will you be? You won't. With stimulus.
Stimulus from Obama Laboratories.
A company's sexual harassment policy targets one employee. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A memo was sent out today to employees of Lancelot Industries informing them of changes in the company's sexual harassment policy. The policy reportedly targets only assistant sales rep Kevin Schulte. Many of Schulte's tactics are now expressly forbidden in the new document, including asking female employees their bra size and taking their pictures with a camera phone without asking. Human Resources Manager Wendy Cho.
Ever since Kevin Schulte started working here, the sexual harassment policy went from one page to 11 pages.
For his part, Schulte says he's never harassed anyone in his life, and if anyone says he did, it was likely Melissa on the third floor, who he says totally needs to get laid. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player. Some folks play softball for exercise. For others, it's a fun way to enjoy a beautiful day with friends and coworkers. But not you. No way. You play the game for keeps.
10 hours in the batting cage.
Yes, Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player. You are truly the Ty Cobb of the Division D Co-Ed Citywide Insurance Underwriters League.
Slide in with your spikes up.
You even quit your church-sponsored team.
'Cause God only loves winners, yeah.
So the next time you're on Field 1 and hear a guy on Field 16 screaming at Joan from Human Resources for not hitting the cutoff man, you are hearing the rantings of Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player, a real American hero.
Mr. Overly Competitive Softball Player.
Nice polyester coaching shorts and knee socks, loser.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on radio. It's Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to February 26th. Today is Friday. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Sam.
You're late, but
you
still managed.
You know, yes. Just posted the new co-host, and
I know. What a way to come in for the first day.
I am like, yeah, I got my tenure on. I'm going to just coast and put her in neutral.
Exactly. Now I can fuck around and be here late.
I'm sorry, man.
No, that's okay, but you're rewarding me with a nice cleavage this morning.
You got
which
it.
Is,
just for you. You yeah. know what I was thinking about when I was putting on my little dress. Well, it's not little.
Yeah. It's funny because you wear dresses like this, and then you keep pulling it up so nobody will look at it. So my question is, what for in the
no,
first
no, it's
place?
Actually, it just, you know, sometimes stuff shifts. It's not like I'm...
I see, it shifts.
You it just shifts.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm sure you adjust.
Yeah,
your...
it was worth it just seeing you running in here. That was an adventure in itself.
Welcome to, and you know, it's one of those things where, I mean, I was literally in Sherman Oaks super early today because it's street parking where I live. So I was like, I'm just going to get up early and move my car, and then there's no parking. So I was like, I'll just get ready and head on down there. And I was literally like 5 minutes away, but I got chatting. Been chatty, chatty girl.
Really?
Yeah, and then the next thing you know, it's
why,
like...
Why, would you stop at Starbucks or something?
The Coffee Bean in Tulip, yeah. Uh-huh. They've got a really good hot chocolate that's called... I called it the Mexican hot chocolate, which I found out was politically incorrect.
Why is that?
I don't know, because I guess Mexicans didn't make it. But it's like a cinnamon-spiced hot chocolate. It's kind of got cayenne pepper in it as well, mm-hmm. I think, something like that. Yeah. And it's really good. And then I get it with two shots of espresso to give it a little jolt.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you really got good. Busy talking to people and stuff?
Yeah, I was chatting it up. You know, you start going to the same coffee shop, and then you just meet some of the same regulars, and you chatty-chatty and... talky-talky, and so it's good. I love it, though. I love meeting people. It's a good place. Yeah.
No, it's true. It's true. But you got to let them know you have a radio show and you have to be there on time.
I know. Sometime I do. I talk about morning. The radio show. I'm like, I'm on a radio show, okay? So I'm on a radio show. Check it out.
I'm I can't be talked out by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. It's my bad. So what's going on for your weekend?
My weekend, nothing special at all.
Nothing special.
Now, why would you ask that?
Because it's Los Angeles.
That's true. But you know what? I was thinking of maybe going hiking this weekend. You know,
it's time to do it.
Living on the edge a little bit.
Go hiking, man.
Yeah.
Get your hiking.
I've just become like really lazy. You know, I mean, look, I've lived here for 30 years. There's nothing left to see, really.
That's not true.
You know, there's not a lot of exciting places to go.
But you've been here 30 years and you've never hiked.
No, I've hiked, but not in the places we've been talking about and stuff. I've done some hiking in my time.
Take your wife, go bring her to Malibu Creek.
Yeah.
Do you think she'd want to go?
If I'm going hiking, I'm going alone. I don't need to take my wife with
really?
Me.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was supposed to say, you might get turned on because you like new places.
Yeah, there you go.
You might
then just
like...
go in the bushes and rub one off.
Oh,
you know? That's another way to look at it. You
That's
know?
Such a gross expression.
Okay, masturbate.
Yeah, that was so clinical. So I found out my family's been listening to the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was like, oh. Yeah, I'm just like, listen.
Sure.
I said, it's a very diverse show.
Uh-huh.
And it's, you know, it's not always family appropriate, which they're not really that uptight or anything, but I just don't want them thinking it's one thing. And then, you know, because we take so many different twists and turns on the show. It goes to God conversation, to sex, to back to God, back to sex. I mean, what else is there,
That's what the show's about.
Yeah,
you know?
God and sex.
Bipolar.
So, it's very bipolar.
Or ADD, rather, you know.
So I was like, oh, man. And I told my aunt, I was like, yeah, you know, just don't let my grandparents, just, you know, don't tell the grandparents. It's not always a fit for every generation.
Yeah. And it's entertainment, you know. It's almost like if you did a movie and you had a nude scene or something. They wouldn't like that either.
I don't think I'd do a nude scene.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you would, but if you did.
But yeah, it's character. It's character.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, you have to understand. You have a role, you know.
Well, and I've played stuff that they haven't seen, but like, you know, that Spanish TV show. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Is that bad?
It was like we wanted you to. We were like, we need you to wear pajamas. I was like, okay, like. Fun pajamas. Well, I mean, needless to say, I get there, it turns into lingerie.
Yeah, really?
And I'm like, yeah, and so, it wasn't that revealing. It was just, but it was more of a, you know, it's a different look.
Right.
Even though, you know, it's just, but it, yeah, so it turns into
lingerie. Like pajamas.
No, it's not like pajamas. It's like sexy lingerie-ish pajamas.
Yeah.
Or just lingerie, whatever.
Yeah.
So, definitely that.
So you wore lingerie on TV?
But it wasn't as... it wasn't that revealing.
Right,
it was just,
but it's weird. I mean,
it's
you
just
know.
A different kind of, it's a different, you know, a different look. It's just like some women will wear like a skimpy bikini and then like they don't want to be seen in lingerie. That's probably more coverage because of the, what it suggests.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't like that there was that much of my body showing more than like, it was about the same. It was like about the same amount as like a little dress.
I see. Okay.
But it was still the fact that I'm in lingerie, you know?
Yeah,
and
there
so,
you go.
But I mean, you know, I was trying not to look at the cameras.
Yeah.
No, it's one of those like, just get me off the show quick. Let me cash my check.
Yeah.
So.
No, you don't want family members listening to the show unless they have a strong heart, you know.
Yeah, no, they're actually way cool. They're very, very cool. And then it's just, you know, I didn't...
You grew up with your grandparents for a while, right? Your
grandma, not my grandparents, my aunt.
Your aunt, that's
Yeah, my aunt. And she's pretty cool, but she's... you know, they're all just... They're just very conservative.
Right.
And, I mean, they're not, like, boring or, you know, they have sense of humor and stuff. But,
yeah.
You know,
just let them know our little girl has gone Hollywood, and that's it, you know?
Well, they've always been, like, my Aunt Deborah, her name's Deborah, she's always been trying to, like, you know, change my wardrobe. She'll take me shopping just so she can try to, like, sneak in turtlenecks and different clothing options so that I'll dress differently. She's always tried to do that.
Right.
But it doesn't work, and then she ends up getting me what I want. And then, but one thing we do agree on are shoes.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you can't really, so she knows I like really, really, like, big high heel shoes and with tons of, like, you know, real flashy, fun, happy shoes. And so she just bought me some, and I just got them in the mail like a month ago, and they're so cute. We call them my jewelry shoes because they're like so blinged up, and they're so huge. Like the platform's huge, and the high heel's really huge. So
really?
I love them. Yeah. So we kind of get it. We kind of agree on the shoes.
Yeah.
The clothing, not so much, but.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Is she much older than you?
She is.
Yeah.
She's like in her 50s.
Uh huh.
But she's like a kid at heart. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's a good kid at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like in her 50s. But for a long time, I mean, she and I, like, people kind of think we're sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, she has a really young spirit.
Yeah.
She's one of these people that laughs a lot. I mean, she's a motivational speaker.
I see.
You know, she's like so all out there.
Yeah. So she's got an open mind, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she knows you. What the hell? You know. She knows what she has under her hands.
Oh, my gosh. She totally does. She's always telling me not to share stuff with her. I used to ask her sex questions growing up, and that would, like, freak her out.
Yeah.
She'd be like, what? What? Because I think she's from a different generation, and they don't really talk about it. And I'd always ask her sex questions, and she'd be like, it'd freak her out. But, she, you know, she just wasn't used to it. And then I'd keep asking her on purpose just to freak her out more.
Yeah. No, for the older generation, it's true. It is embarrassing to talk about that, you know? I mean, me and my kids, we're very open, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, my kids ask me questions all the time, you know, my son. And
how old are your kids?
My son is 16, you know, he's almost 17 now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, we talk about everything, you know?
You told him about sex and stuff?
No, I didn't have to. Well, yeah, I guess I did. Yeah.
Like, did you want him to just figure it out on his own, or did you want him?
No, you know, it happens both ways. I mean, you know, they pick up a lot from the street and stuff, and they come in and want to confirm that with you, you know, that what they heard is correct.
Oh, okay. And do you feel uncomfortable or
not at all? Not at all. No.
Yeah.
Because we've been very close always. You know, we're like friends. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that.
And what about your daughter? How old is she?
With my daughter, she's a little uncomfortable talking about sex and stuff, especially when the three of us are in the car and
you and your son.
My son starts, and although he's not like that anymore, he used to be. You know, when you first discover it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, 13, 14. You know.
Uh huh.
And she wasn't comfortable with that and stuff.
But, how old is she now?
She's 19.
She's 19.
Yeah.
Does she talk to you about boys or anything like that?
No.
She doesn't?
No. In fact, we haven't seen a lot of each other lately because she's doing her own thing and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know,
is she in college?
And kind of like, she's in college.
That'll do it. Yeah, they like kind of go away and they do their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What school is she
going? They forget about their parents and shit, you know. So,
aww.
Yeah, she used to go up north, and but then she started having really bad asthma. And the doctors told her, you know, there's too much humidity and stuff here. And
oh, really?
Yeah, you have to be in a drier climate. So she came down here, and she's going locally.
Oh, good for her.
To college, yeah.
That's cool.
I know. But let me tell you, it's one of the hardest things is when your kids get older, and then they don't give a shit about you as much, you know?
Really? What is that like? What age do you feel that they really start to let go?
Like now, like 16. Yeah.
They just start to really...
Yeah, my son. I mean, up until a few months ago, we'd still see each other like 3 times a week and stuff. And, and now, once a week or so.
Really?
If he makes himself available, yeah.
And now he's like hanging out with friends more.
Friends. He's got a girlfriend now and all that stuff, you know, so...
Wow.
He's got a car, so he gets around.
He's got a car?
Yeah, he's got a car. He gets around. And, yeah, his life has changed completely. And
did you buy him a car?
Yeah.
Did you buy him a good car?
Yeah, he's got a Mustang. You know, it's not brand new, but, you know,
okay.
Still.
Because you know those parents Yeah. What I'm talking about. The
yeah,
kid.
They buy you a Lexus and shit.
They're like, yeah, here's yeah. your BMW, fully right. loaded, 16, don't wreck it.
Yeah, they still have some people like that, you know. But
there's tons of them out here.
But no, it wasn't that expensive, you know. And usually, yeah. if, you know, a new driver, you don't want to give him a brand
no.
new car, you know. But nevertheless, you know, I mean, he feels
cool. So you bought
cool.
him his wheels so he can get away from you.
No, on the contrary. In fact, I thought he would come visit me more often, but that's not the case.
Bummer. Yeah. How far away do they live from you?
They live in Chatsworth, which is like about 15, 20 minute drive.
Yeah.
When there's no traffic, that is. So, yeah, it gets to be a pain in the ass to drive around this town because everything's so spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's so far, you know?
Mm. What was some of the most fun things you like to do with your son? Like,
You know, we used to do a lot of... well, when he was younger, it depends on what age, you know. I mean, recently, there wasn't that much to do, you know. So we always go eat and sometimes movies and things like that,
yeah.
you know. Or do fun things like go-karts or something, you know.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. So, you know, we've done some things. We like watching Howard Stern together on TV.
You
and
let him
stuff.
Watch Howard Stern?
Yeah, he loves it. Are you kidding?
You let him watch Howard Stern?
Yeah, why not?
I love how you got this innocent face like, what? What
yeah,
are you talking
of course.
About?
Yeah,
I mean, sure.
Yeah, he likes to see boobies and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean with his dad and he's only 16.
Only?
16.
You know that today they know everything by 16.
Yeah, I know. I think that's kind of a problem though. It's like too much information, not enough life experience.
Well, but what are you going to do? I mean, that's a new generation. They're raised on the internet, you know, and we have to find new ways to deal with it.
So sit him down and let him watch a little Howard Stern.
Yeah, we sit and watch Howard Stern, and it's funny, and he watches the girls take off their clothes and stuff. And, yeah, I mean, there's no, like, sex going on. You know, we already talked about the differences between sex and nudity, didn't we?
Yeah, but I just think it's funny. I mean, come on, Sam. I mean, like, that's like a
It is funny, but...
It's funny. It's like, oh, my gosh. What a different, like... Raising your kids in L.A.
Yeah,
Saturday night, my son and I have quality time watching Howard Stern.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
And have a lot of fun doing that, too.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, you
You're
know.
You're not going to take him to, like, strip clubs, are you?
No. Well, maybe when he's 18, I will.
Really?
Yeah,
well, what about your wife?
Not?
Would she care?
Except I don't think he's going to need me to take him there because he's got friends now, you know? And,
but, I mean, would your wife care if you went to a strip club?
You mean my ex-wife, like his mother?
No, I mean, you're currently married, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm married, but not to his mother.
No, not to his mother.
Right,
I'm saying, but
you're... Would she care?
Yeah.
If I went to a strip club with him? I don't think so.
She wouldn't care if
no,
you went to a strip club?
No, no. I mean, I don't go to strip clubs now, but if I took my son, then I'm sure she wouldn't mind.
Really?
If
that's
we
interesting.
Went for him, yeah.
What if he wasn't involved and you just went?
No, I wouldn't anyway. I don't like that kind of environment.
Why don't you like it?
It's like too tacky. It's like a dive, you know, when you go into those strip clubs.
Yeah.
And, you know, my question is also, you know, when you go to a strip club, you get turned on. You don't get relieved, you know. It's like, why do I need something to turn me on and then leave me hanging, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand if you're going to do this, go to a hooker and get relieved, you know. But if you go to a strip club, I mean, I can get turned on without going to a strip club. I don't need that, you know.
Yeah.
So you just go there and it makes you crazy, you know.
It's kind of like a big tease, right?
Yeah, that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't, I mean, in my whole life, I probably have only been twice or three times with friends and stuff, and that's
I've talked to a lot of guys that, you know, for whatever, you know, guys at some point usually end up going and looking at, you know, trying it out or whatever. And I've been told, I've never been actually, but that there's kind of like this, it just has a real cheap feeling to it.
Yeah, like cheesy, you know.
Yeah, it's not really like the idea you think it's going to be. It's kind of like you look up there and it just has like a feeling of kind of desperation.
Yeah, and you can see the dancers are not into it, you know, and probably most of them hate men anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Because they see them at their worst, you know. I mean, you see those men in those clubs, you know. It's like they just try to be rowdy and...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think every woman's thought about what would it be like to be a stripper, because there's an idea of like getting on stage and entertaining and like dancing and being sexy that I think women like.
Right.
But then there's the whole other side to it, which is not doesn't just stay there. It's like this, you're you know, the guys that you're entertaining usually aren't, I'm assuming, really aren't attractive, and Yeah. You know, they're used.
Well, that depends. I mean,
yeah,
you
but
know,
there's also not that if they're attractive, yeah. it's okay. But I'm also yeah. saying like there's probably a sense of loneliness in those environments.
Yeah, I'm sure.
People are really, I think, really wanting not just sex. I think they're really wanting connection.
Yeah.
And they're wanting like to be valued and be like, you know, have that kind of, you know.
Yeah, like attention.
Attention.
And stuff. Yeah.
yeah, I think everybody's kind of really looking for life. They're looking right. for, you know. There's a lot of lonely people out there. I would say yeah. majority of people are very lonely.
Yeah.
Majority.
Yeah, especially in this town, you know, again, because yeah. it's big, it's spread out, it's not really conducive for social life.
Which is
and
funny.
People here work like crazy. It's like labor camps here, and all we do is work.
Which is funny because people that don't, that only have the TV view of LA
right.
would probably think, oh, party all the time. But I think it's really what you make. I think the city's what you make. But honestly, like, I mean, you can go out all the time here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as having real friendships, it's
that's
a total
I mean. Yeah.
different.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, you know. And I don't know. People come here from all over the world. You'd think they would mix up pretty well. But sometimes it's not the case.
Yeah, you know? That's yeah. true.
But then again, you know, I mean, every city has its own problems and stuff, you know. We tend to talk about L.A. in a negative connotation often. You know, people that live here and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really not that bad, you know. And
I freaking love it. I have great friends. Like last night, they all went to happy hour
mm-hmm.
at a really great little place by my house called Birds. And I didn't go because I was exhausted. But, I mean, there's always something going on. And doing, like, yeah. comedy and music, it's a nightlife type thing. And
exactly.
Then,
and you live in the city. There's
yeah,
much more happening.
There's
yeah.
so much going on. I mean, I go hiking. I went on, like, yesterday was gorgeous. And, I had Sade on my iPod.
Oh, the new CD.
Yeah, have you uh-huh. heard her new her single "Soldier of Love"? I'm a soldier of love.
No, but you were
love.
Singing it to us.
Yeah. Every day of my life. Anyway, it's so good. Woo! Anyway,
sounds good. I would love that.
But I went on this hike and I went too far, and I decided and I didn't bring my car with me,
mm-hmm.
and then it got dark.
Really?
And that whole road less travel thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a good concept, but make sure you bring a cell phone.
I see.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And a flashlight.
And a flashlight and a bottle of water and a jacket.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean?
What time did you go that it got dark?
Well, I mean, I had a long day of like kind of just walking around getting errands done, and I decided I'll walk and get my errands done, then I'll walk to my hike, then I'll do the hike, then I'll walk home.
Right.
Because I thought, well, you know what? It's a great day outside. And so I think I left around 2 and I didn't get back to like 7:30.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it with all walking and then hiking, and so my feet were killing me.
Yeah. Wow.
And I was like, oh, I need a ride.
Yeah.
But
so what do you do? I mean, you just get to, I mean, you rest a little bit and then you keep going?
Yeah, I mean, normally what I'll do is if I'm gonna run to a hike and then hike and run home, or walk to a hike, run the hike and come home, or whatever the combination is, it's usually something that's closer to my house.
Right.
This one was actually further from my house,
right.
but I figured, oh, I'm just gonna walk it and not run today, so I can do the extra mileage. But after a while, I mean, your shoes kind of, everything just hurts.
Really?
Yeah, so I did. I had to sit down and, like, stretch and everything like that.
But. Yeah. So do you usually go solo, or do you take people with you hiking?
Sometimes I go with my roommates or friends. But sometimes, like, everybody's got different, like, if I really just want to, like, socialize, I'll go with friends. But sometimes when I really get a workout in, I like to go alone.
Right.
Just because, like, a lot of friends of mine aren't runners.
Right.
And so I like running or doing a combination of running, and
right.
most people don't.
Yeah,
so
I see.
So it's kind of like, and then if I start running and they're still walking, and I said, oh, I'll meet you at the bottom, or I'll meet you over here.
Yeah,
they're kind of like,
what's the point?
They're like, why are you doing that? Why are you walking with us? And I'm like, well, because, you know, I mean, I don't have naturally high metabolism, so I got to work at this crap. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like, you know.
Yeah. Plus, you get to connect with nature a little more,
love
I think,
it.
When you're solo.
I
you
love
know?
It. It's so great.
Yeah.
I say hi to the birds.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to think about that this weekend. Maybe even just think about it, you know?
Just as the first step, Sam.
Yeah.
Thinking. Just think upon these
One
things.
Step at a time, right?
One step, Sam.
Yeah. Well, did you hear about this actor that whose body was found dead in Vancouver? Okay,
are
been
we talking about the
this.
Guy that was disappeared?
Yeah, Andrew Koenig or Kenning. And how do you pronounce it? K-O-E-N-I-G. You think it's Koenig?
Yeah, I think it's Koenig.
Okay, I apologize for that. But Andrew has been a friend of the station. In fact, he used to be here on the Damage Report show with Johnny Dam.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess most people know him from his part from his role on Growing Pains, if you remember that series.
Yeah, no, I do remember.
Yeah, and he was playing the part of Boner, although I don't remember that part at all. And so that made him sort of famous. And then he disappeared on February 14th in Vancouver. So they've been searching for him. I mean, February 14th, that's like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, I was reading that he was missing, and everybody was like, the last time he was seen was in Vancouver, and they didn't know if, like, it was... Because didn't he say he was going to get away or something like that? He wanted it.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to get away a little bit and stuff and be on his own.
So he got... And so was he murdered?
So, no, he committed suicide. They found his body in the park. A group of his friends went up there, and they knew he used to like hanging out in that park. So they searched it, and they found his body there. And
he
apparently, he killed himself. And the interesting thing is a couple days ago or a few days ago, his dad said that he had been despondent and, you know, and pretty depressed.
Do they have any idea, like, what, if there's anything?
I don't know. I don't think he left a note or anything, you know. So, they didn't mention anything about this. And they said that he stopped taking medication for depression about a year ago. Now, there's a mistake.
It's not good.
No. Because depression will kill you, you know?
Yeah.
Depression will kill you.
Literally, yeah.
And I mean, because you just get so hopeless.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's why, you know, because I'm really, like, torn about the subject of suicide, you know? Because on the one hand, it's the most selfish thing you can do,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because the destruction you leave behind you is... it's irreparable, you know? I mean, you leave your family, your friends behind with this loss for the rest of their lives,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I think that's very selfish on the one hand. On the other hand, you figure someone who's in that state of mind that they finally can't go on anymore,
mm-hmm.
they probably feel like physical pain,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like, how can you possibly judge what they do and what they say, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not 100%.
Yeah.
Far from it.
You know, my sister, that's how she died.
And that's right.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's actually kind of, it's kind of debatable whether or not it was suicide.
Uh-huh.
Although it probably was, because the amount of medication that she took wasn't just to get high. It was like such
right.
It was like major overdose. You know, and it's something that it's like, you know, it's hard to really grasp where it's something that feels the pain is, it feels preventable.
Mm.
You're like, this feels like a preventable death. This wasn't necessary.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the part that you struggle with when you're left here,
right.
because you're like, you know, I had some significant, small but significant opportunities to see her prior to her death, and I didn't.
Mm.
And it, you know, and I revisit that a lot, and I can't go there too much because then you'll start to
crazy.
It makes you crazy,
yeah.
And you know, the reality is what's done is done. But I mean, I revisited those opportunities, thinking, well, I mean, had I seen her, you know, those times, what kind of impression would that have left on her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How would that have changed maybe her thought process? Or maybe it wouldn't, but you don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are people that suffer from, I have a friend of mine, and her mother took her own life, and she was suffering from physical pain that the doctors couldn't find or cure, and
right.
they didn't know if it was because it was psychological or if it was physical, but she just was in agony. I mean, all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
that's why it's hard to judge people like that and that decision, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they make, you know. So I don't know.
And Alexander McQueen, famous designer, he recently just committed suicide, and his mother just passed away a few weeks ago, and that was it, and then he did
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
He snapped.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think that there's a lot. I think people struggle with so much that's under the surface, and that
right.
over time, if it's not checked, if it's not dealt with, it just grows and grows and grows, and
right.
you know, it's just a matter of time until something happens.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, and they stop taking their medication and stuff, and that's the worst thing they can do, you know.
Yeah, my friend said it's like, you know, what happens is people that with illness they or depression, they think they start to feel better, and
right.
they think they don't need it.
Right.
And I'm kind of torn on the medication aspect. I really do see that there's a need for it, and I do think it's a blessing in some ways, and it gets people stable and gets them functional.
Right.
But I also think it doesn't cure the issue.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't
and you kind of need it to function. But I also feel like it can be a Band-Aid from getting to the real issues that some people have.
Well, that depends, you know, because, I mean, if it's just a matter that you can take up in therapy, that's a different thing. But sometimes people just physically, you know, chemically in their their brain, they're not functioning correctly. So it doesn't cure it, but, yes, it treats it. You know?
Well, I think, yeah, absolutely. I think, and I'm not discounting it because I do see a need for it. Clearly, you know, people need it. But what I am, what I have seen is that, you know, sometimes people are going through depression and yeah, chemically they're off, but sometimes they're chemically off because of something else.
Right.
And that something else, the chemically offness is the byproduct. It's the evidence of the fact that there's something else, you know, because if you read a lot of, which I haven't read a whole lot, but, you know, psychological books and studying of the brain, a lot of it does talk about, you know, you can alter these things, but at the end of the day, if you're not really training your brain as far as thought replacement and behavior modification, things like that, it can completely can counteract, like,
yeah,
you know,
but you see, I mean, you're talking about if there's a reason, if there's a cause. For many people, there isn't any. It's just that they're depressed because they do have that imbalance.
But I don't know if I agree with that, because even though, yeah, you're right, there's some people have a propensity for things, and I'm not discounting medication.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you look at it as diabetes or something, you know, and
but
you
I don't. I think it goes back to, and not all, this isn't like a blanket statement for every single person. I'm just saying this is this could be a variable, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Is that everything boils down to belief.
Right.
Your belief in or lack thereof. So your worldview, how you see yourself, how you see the people around you, how you think they see you, all of that, we all have that.
Right.
And that shapes the way we feel, the way we think, the way we believe, the way we interact.
Right.
And if people feel and believe and don't have hope and don't believe that they're valued and that they matter and that they're significant or that life is significant or the people around them are significant.
Right.
If these beliefs aren't in place, if they're not given that support or they don't seek that out, I mean,
right,
that is going to, you're going to see lack of dopamine. You're going to see
right,
lack of serotonin. All
but
those things.
What if you're born like with dark glasses? Okay. I mean, it's just in your genes that everything looks bad all the time. You know?
Yeah.
So how can you possibly change your views?
Well, I'm not saying
you
that.
You know, so taking off those glasses is
just take
akin
them off, yeah,
to taking the medication.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, I think there's times where, you know, people need the medication, and then they can at least put that underneath some kind of harness to where they can start on the other stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's an either or.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, yeah, I do see that I do think we're a way over medicated society.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, look at other countries and countries with way less. They're not sitting around and trying to figure out, well, who am I? What's my self-identity? They're like, damn it, I just want to eat today.
Yeah, but I mean, they still might be depressed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, if you look at it, you look at it on
a physical thing.
Yeah,
know?
But I mean, if you look at it, there's a lot of other countries, they're not, I don't know, I don't see them, I feel like because they're working on the other necessities of life, those bare necessities of life, for some reason, and, you know, this is, again, just my opinion, I don't know how educated it is, but I think working on those bare necessities of life sometimes give such a sense of purpose and such a sense of community,
right,
and a sense of gratification, and they're able to be happy and rejoice over the littlest of things.
Right.
Whereas when you live in a place where there's so much abundance sometimes and there's
right,
so many options and everybody's disconnected and we're, you know, it's like you can get lost in the sea of what is this? What matters? You know? And
right,
that isn't the answer at all. I'm not, that's
right,
just an idea of, you know, stepping way, way back from the issue and going, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real time station. Your free 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
If what you do is a good deed. Let's get back. Let's get back to Sam in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, and we're back. And we have, Kara, we have a guest in the studio.
We sure do.
Just popped up out of nowhere. We have Tommy here in the studio, and Tommy is a longtime fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Tommy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What are you doing in L.A.?
Actually, I'm getting ready to make the move out here.
Closer to the mic.
Okay, no problem.
You can pull it towards you if you want a little bit. And so you're moving to L.A.
Yeah, April 15th if everything goes right.
Really? And you're moving from where?
New York.
New York. Mm-hmm. New Yorker. How long have you lived there?
The bulk of my life.
Yeah?
My family's from the Bahamas originally.
So yeah, from the Bahamas, there, man.
I was just saying, like, I didn't know people were from the Bahamas.
I know. Yeah, I don't know anybody that's from there, but now I do.
True.
Now I do.
Did you grow up in the Bahamas?
I spent part of my life down there, yeah.
Wow, is it a rough life?
yeah, it must be.
I guess it depends on how you look at it. Beaches, lobster tails.
So I'm trying to say, like, that's a great place to be from.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you, you guys see the ships coming in all the time, right? All those cruise ships and stuff, you know?
As a matter of fact, just off the island where I'm from mm-hmm. is where the big red boat goes into.
Really?
For Disney.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Disney boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool. Have you heard that there's like a Disney cruise and stuff, and you go on there and it's all themed? And
I mean, I don't think it's my thing because it's a little, it's a little kiddish.
For families, obviously.
It's for families, yeah. But I've actually almost worked on a. I almost worked on a cruise, and Disney was one of the things I was considering. For
really?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's it's really like I've heard working for Disney is pretty intense. Like.
Yeah.
It's like it's a good company, but extremely like strict and stringent and like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, friends that have worked for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Well, we actually had a guest here once who was an employee for Disney at Disney World.
Oh yeah.
And he had written a book, and it was pretty interesting to find out all the little secrets, you know, going behind the scenes.
Like they're on top of it. You
yeah.
Know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool. So Tommy, I wanted to bring up before we forget. Well, how can we forget this? But you just came out with a book, my man.
I did. Yeah.
Wow, I'm like really surprised. I didn't know this was coming.
Actually, it all came together in the last 4 weeks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And already it's like printed and everything.
Yeah. As of today, it will be on Amazon.com and hopefully by tomorrow, Barnes & Noble and Borders as well.
Wow. Sounds good. The book is called Ramblings and Reflections of an American Poet. And your full name is T.L. Bethel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Bethel?
Bethel.
Bethel. Okay. And I told you that Bethel means the house of God, right? And you knew that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That's in Hebrew, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons my father came to this country to be a minister.
Really? Wow. That's amazing, man. And so this is a book about... tell us a little bit about the book, Tommy. What's going on with it?
Well, ironically, that book was originally started a year ago, February, mm-hmm. but it didn't actually start to take shape until I heard you over in August.
Right.
When you were originally auditioning.
What's the bang in here? Do you hear anything?
Oh, I think
are you like rocking your leg or something?
I'm
hearing like bang in here.
I started to write the bulk of that book right about the time you started your co-host search in August.
Really? Back in August?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. See, that's been
you
a long
search. You were searching for a co-host
no,
in August?
No, I had one for a while.
So lucky.
You are lucky. You are lucky. But
ta-da!
Not only lucky, but you should be proud as well. Tommy knows we've been through a lot of candidates and stuff. You know?
Very true.
Yeah.
Really?
Tommy's been listening to the show for a long time. Probably one of our biggest fans, right?
Definitely.
And he finally gets to be in the studio, which is amazing.
That's so cool, Tommy. Yeah. How did you find out about LA Talk Radio?
Actually, by accident.
Yeah.
It's always the best thing.
That's how you usually find something.
Yeah.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah, so you kind of like, took a liking to the station and everything, mm-hmm. and you've been writing to me and stuff. Now, Tommy's very active on Facebook and stuff, so
oh, cool.
And I guess I shouldn't be surprised you came out with a book, because you write all these poems and songs on there like there's no tomorrow.
True.
You seem like you're flowing and bursting with energy and all this creativity.
Well, everything that I had on Facebook is actually in the book.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I mean, have you been like writing like this for a long time?
I actually started writing probably when I was like 10 or 11.
Really?
I didn't give it much thought.
Yeah.
I guess 92, 93, I actually did get published.
Mm-hmm.
Invested a lot of money into it.
Really?
And didn't get anything out of it.
So yeah.
I kind of put it down for about 10, 15 years.
Yeah, you got to keep trying, man. You got to keep trying. So you finally made it real now.
That's so cool, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just having that, you know, starting it out and then not getting the response and then not giving up, right?
Actually, I went into a completely different field.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I literally put everything down. And
okay.
It wasn't until the beginning of last year that I got inspired again and I started to write again.
That's so cool.
You know, most of the stuff I was writing back in the day was children's stories, philosophy, music.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So where all these poems come from? I mean, I'm not used to like men writing poems so much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why that
Sam's
is.
Funny. Sam just says what he thinks. He's like, by the way, what's with the deep?
Yeah, I know.
It's manly. What's going on here?
Well, this is LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Yeah, there you go. You know what the hell?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Actually, the bulk of the book was written for my soulmate,
mm-hmm.
and she is ever elusive,
uh-huh.
and part of that manifest, I wrote some of the stuff for Sherry.
I
at
see.
One point or another.
Really? Yeah.
And
Sherry was a co-host here for about a couple months or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah. They became real good friends on Facebook mm-hmm. and everything.
Oh, okay.
And then she went up there and you guys met, right?
Yeah.
In
she
New
came
York,
to New York and so. We met.
Was it like a? Was it?
Was it romantic? That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. Was it like? Was it like? Never seen you looking so gorgeous as you did tonight. I'll never seen Sherry shine so bright because I've never seen her in person except for on the radio, and now we're meeting for the first time. How did it go?
Actually, it went very well. We had a good time together. If you want to put it in that tone, I guess there was some of that there, but.
The meeting, was it just to be like, hey, I really want to meet you, I'm a fan, or was it one of those like, hey, I see you and I taking long walks on the Bahamas.
He didn't know we'd put him on the spot, huh, Tommy?
It's okay. Nobody's listening. No, I'm just kidding. It's just us, believe me, and my family. Anyway, Texas.
I don't think we originally went into it with that kind of a thought, mm-hmm. but we did enjoy ourselves together. I was just a friend or a fan from the station, you know.
Right.
And,
but it's really cool meeting someone you've only been talking to or mm-hmm. writing to and things like that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, I think.
But I mean, what happened?
Oh, we're still very good friends.
We've
worked together even after she's left here. She just got back from a relief trip to Haiti.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know. I hope we're going to work together again in the future.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
I'm planning on it.
I'm just out of the loop. I want the deets, man.
Yeah, you'll get the details. You'll get the details.
I'm like,
So tell me, I mean, you like dressed so nice and everything today. Are you like going for an interview or something
like
that?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you are, because you came in with a suit and everything. Mm-hmm. You're looking like really sharp.
Thank you.
So what kind of a field are you going to get into?
Oh, well, I'm hoping to get back into broadcasting and... Uh-huh. The book is starting to work itself out. I have 6 different children's stories that are about to be illustrated.
Really?
And I have 2 other books that are almost completed. And I've gone back to writing music as well. So.
Really? Mm-hmm. And how have you been making a living, let's say, recently and stuff? You're a photographer, right?
Mm-hmm. Photographer by trade.
Uh-huh.
I owned my own business for, I don't know, from 97 till present day.
Mm-hmm.
And after I closed down my storefront, I was able to work out of my my own home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the official photographer for a number of different FM radio stations. So by myself, I was able to do the grand openings, you know, their concerts.
That's pretty cool. So you
giveaways,
stuff
like that.
You've done like events and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool stuff. So, so why don't you get into photography here too? I mean, that's something you're strong at, right?
Yes, it is something I'm strong at. But matter of fact, some of the stuff I've just released my own website as well.
Really?
TLBethel.com. And a lot of the imagery. I'm going to basically try to do a blog transition from New York to California.
Uh-huh.
So I'm doing images from New York, and I'm doing blogs from New York, and I'm also doing what's now my background, where I'm going to have my my own backyard in Brea.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So now, what made you decide? I mean, you've lived in New York for a long time and stuff, and suddenly you decide one day I'm going to move to L.A. What was the thinking behind that?
Some of my closest friends from high school are out here.
Oh, really?
And matter of fact, where I'm staying at right now, you know, one of my best friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had an offer for me to come out and spend some time with them, a place to stay.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of it's kind of happened on its own, kind of quickly.
Sounds good. Well, we have a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Lois.
Lois. Good morning, Lois. Do we know Lois, Tommy?
Sure, she's my personal assistant.
Oh, really?
Yay.
Yeah, I saw her promoting you on Facebook and stuff. Okay, so it's that Lois. How you doing, Lois?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. So so you helped Tommy out with the book and everything?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And
I did.
Where do you live? Are you in L.A.?
No, I'm in Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida.
Wow.
So how does that work?
She's also somebody I knew from high school.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
From New York, and then you moved to Florida?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
How's Florida? Is it great right now or no?
It's cold. Honestly, it's like 30 degrees this morning.
It's crazy, man.
30 degrees. Wow. Where in Florida are you?
West Palm Beach.
Mm.
It's rough, man.
Wow.
You guys just come from some rough background.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Bahamas, West Palm Beach.
New York City.
Running in a good crowd.
Yeah. So what have you done? Exactly what did you do about the book and stuff? You do like publicity and things like that?
We're working on it. I think Tommy already said we were going to be on Amazon.com as early as today, and Barnes & Noble and Borders next week.
Wow.
That's cool.
And the website's going to be launched, and we've got a lot of things going on, so it's exciting.
Wonderful. Tommy, have you written any poems for Lois?
As a matter of fact, I have.
Yeah, really?
Sure.
Oh, assistant. You are
there
so
you go.
Assistant-y.
That must make you feel special.
I look for any inspiration. Everything
that's
inspires
great.
Me.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'd be cool, though, if you wrote a...
thanks, family. Sam. It ain't easy to make me blush, but thank you.
Yeah.
That's not true, Lois.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Tommy seems to get around, you know. He surrounds himself with great women and stuff, so that's good.
Sure try.
Yeah.
I won't disagree with that.
So how long have you guys known each other?
Since 1982?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time. And have you been touch... constantly during this time?
Actually, I only ran into her again and met up with her in May, I guess it was May or March of last year.
Really?
On Facebook.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, on Facebook.
Facebook,
yeah.
Man.
You see, that's pretty cool, you know, when you suddenly meet people you haven't seen in years and stuff. I would love to do that.
That's
you know?
What I'm saying. Like, why go to your high school reunion when you have Facebook?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, why
you
do
see,
anything in person?
You know, who's got fat, who had kids, who lost weight, who made money, or looks like they made money. You know all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm still going.
And you don't have to leave the house.
No, and you can stalk people. It's really, really bad, actually.
Yes, I know this is
what
true.
What a great benefit. We can stalk people.
You really can. I've had some... I'll be honest, and I know I'm not the only person admitting this. I've done some creepy stuff on Facebook.
Really?
I've done creepy stuff.
Like what?
Oh, it was you that did that to me.
Yeah, it was me. Sorry.
Have you stalked someone?
This is bad. This is actually bad, and I shouldn't... I'm going to admit it, but I'm only saying it because I know other people have done it.
You stalked someone.
I've looked at people's exes,
uh-huh.
and I've sized them up, and I've like I've like had friends come and look at their pictures and compare me to them, and uh-huh. I've like, you know, I've looked at, I've gone, oh man, this is bad. I've gone through somebody I've dated. I've gone through their posts and find out who they've commented on, what photos. I followed the trails.
Around, yes.
I followed trails to find out like. Where they posted stuff and like commented and found pictures of them tagged, and it's, you know, to be honest, it's a sickness because it's not even that I care. It's just the investigation part is kind of like thrilling.
Right.
It's almost like you want to catch somebody and you don't even know what you're trying to catch them doing. You don't even ha 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 ha. I see you. You were partying with that person the other night. Ha ha. You know, I don't even know what I'm trying to catch, but it's almost like you're following a little trail.
It's a glorified version of cheaters.
Yeah, but it's I seriously had to go, oh my gosh, Kara, this is sick. Stop.
Yeah. Actually, I had people do that to me. You know, on your personal profile, you can put your phone number and email and all that. And they actually plugged in my cell phone and they were following me around.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you put your cell phone on there?
I did at that point, yeah.
Oh, why would you put yourself on the internet, though?
Well, I mean, look at it this way. I mean, I was only friends of friends. I was connecting.
Oh, it was
my
one
life.
Of those, like, it was a smaller network of friends at
right.
the time.
But, I mean, I was able to retrace all the way back to third grade. You know, but there's some of these people had known me from school. We reconnected. I had never actually really been friends with them, and they were infatuated or what have you. And they just started popping up at places I was. It was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I ended up having to literally pick up all my stuff and move.
Yeah, yeah.
At one
crazy.
Point.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lois,
that
what...
That wasn't me, by the way.
No, it wasn't Lois.
It wasn't him. Okay.
You're good,
Lois.
So what do you do in Florida there?
Well, actually, I'm going to school to become a psychologist.
Oh, really?
I'm getting my doctorate degree right now. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A doctorate. Wow. So we have a smart one here, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome. So so you got the book into Amazon and Barnes & Noble and stuff, which I know is not that easy, right?
Well, it was easy because that book is going to sell itself.
Yeah.
It's an awesome book.
I see. Okay. Aww. So, yeah, I mean, we would like to read some things. Maybe Tommy will read us something. Lois, thanks so much for calling in.
This thanks, is, Lois.
Was there any
anything
else you wanted to tell us about Tommy or about the book?
I
push
say
the website.
Go online,
push
buy
the website.
Book. It's definitely worth it.
Sounds good.
It's awesome, and it's going to be the first of many, so...
Sounds good. Well, there's your biggest fan, Tommy, and that's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Lois, thank you so much for calling. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So, this is cool. So, pick out a favorite of yours and then read it. We're going to get, like, genuine original reading here from the author himself.
Cool.
Yeah. And, Kara, are you into poetry and things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
especially
when men write it to you?
Yeah. I think I read more poetry in, like, high school.
Uh-huh.
I was into it then. And since then, I've just read Us Weekly. And
yeah, there you go.
It's great poetry.
That's great poetry there.
Yeah, no, I'm just playing. I definitely can appreciate it, but I can't say that I'm an avid reader. How about yourself, Sam?
Yeah. I don't really understand them sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy writes them where it's, like, clear and things like this. But sometimes there's so many, like, metaphors and analogies and things like that that, you know, you go, like... You know, what are they saying? You know, I don't know what I'm reading here. So maybe I should have paid more attention in literature classes in junior high, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually the irony for me was I was not proficient in any of that. It wasn't until I was in college for the second time that I actually started to write professionally.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm. My first degree was in communication and broadcasting and television production.
Mm. Well, we got another smart cookie here.
There
we
go.
See? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like people that are into school and stuff. You know, it's pretty cool. So go ahead. Did you find one?
Actually, I found a couple, actually.
Okay.
This is, I guess, basically the focus of the book, and it's called The One. And it goes, even in this way I see, I can tell, and I know, nothing is as it's supposed to be. I wish that I could come to you tonight. And I know that this is meant to be. And I feel you there. Oh, baby, I live my life, and I give all I am every day to make the world a better place. Sometimes wish I could release the time so I could run through the night to the way and part with the fears. Can't tell you how it is. Not the same anymore. Don't you always want the one? Is it all that we find in the history of time, a love like none other? And it may seem impossible to you to see that this is all it is. I should have known as I part from the place where you are. Everything I do is for you. So why can't I see you exactly what you mean to me? So if I would give you the world on a platter, would you find my gift too much for your heart? Or would you stand in the twisting that we are going through? Don't you know, baby, I can't stop myself from writing down the words that seemed to lift the veil and expose the light in our lives. Is it how you want this, baby? Or am I left to dance this one alone?
Oh, wow. Cool,
did
man.
I hear a British accent?
Well, that's my Bohemian coming out.
Oh, it is. Okay, I was like, I hear a little bit of a, like a little bit of a, I was wondering if that was his reading voice. Hello, this is my poetry voice, and I'm going to read.
Because
it does.
To be or not to be.
To be or not to be, darling. That was very, very vulnerable.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And there's a lot coming out from your heart and stuff, obviously.
Well, see, that's the funny thing about it is the bulk of the stuff that I wrote, I did it free-flowing. So as soon as I wrote it and corrected the grammatic errors and
right.
spelling errors, I never read it again. Mm. It wasn't until I was in the editing process and was actually editing for the book
really?
That I actually was able to read, you know, what I put out there. And I didn't realize how much of myself I put out there
right.
in essence in my soul, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
But it's pretty therapeutic, too, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Like, matter of fact, the bulk of why I write is to keep me off the couch.
Really, huh?
I think it's a lot less expensive.
Yeah. There you go. That's good. Just get it out there. Do you find yourself when you go back and, like, as you said, you're bringing it all together and you read stuff that you've written, do you feel shocked that you wrote that, or do you ever feel like, where was I, or remembering when you, that, you know, the mind frame that you were in, like, do you sometimes feel removed from it, like time has passed or you're in a different place?
The irony of it is that yes, to answer your question, yes, there's two things that happen. There's a separation, you know, from when you actually wrote it, and you know there's a departure from the original feelings that you wrote. And when you come back and you read it, it's almost like renewing those feelings and that vibration and excitement again. But then there's the essence of the truth of it. You know, I mean, you go back and you look at it and you realize, you know, that it is just words. It is something that I felt at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good.
It's
sort of like a journal, you know. It
exactly.
kind of reminds you. You put down your thoughts and everything. Then you can always go back, check it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you had people writing poems to you?
I was in a long-term relationship when I was younger,
and
I was seeing a guy, okay, and he lived in Texas still, and I moved out to Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and he would write me like letters, and some of it was, you know, it was pretty and sexy, and he put little stickers on it. like we had this thing where, like, he loves hippos for whatever reason. He loved, like, so he had, like, a bunch of hippo stickers on the, so it wasn't, like, super romantic, but it was, like, from his heart. It was genuine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was just authentic, and bless you. And
no, I'm coughing all over the place this morning. I don't know what it is.
Oh, there goes that hike. The hike's out.
So much for the hike, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I
you?
Should have another cigarette. That would help, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
What about, have you ever done the poetry thing, or had anybody do it for you?
No, I've written songs in order to put music to them, but I never really wrote poetry, because, like I said, I just don't get it, you know?
I love you, Sam, because you're just such a guy's guy that's just kind of like, what? I don't understand. Boobies, what? Howard Stern, it's fine.
There
poetry,
you go.
Poetry, what? I don't get it. I don't
yeah,
get it.
Yeah, you put boobies in the poem, I'll connect with it right away.
No, but I get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that I think it stretches people. It's just like going to see certain art, right? Certain
mm-hmm.
museums. Like, it's not usually my first pick.
Mm-hmm.
But you go and it stretches you. You know, try to look at things a little abstract, or you try to challenge, you know.
That's true. That's
you know?
True, yeah. And I know a lot of people are into poetry. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure your book will do real well. And just keep believing, you know. I mean, and the nice thing about the book is it's a timeless thing. It's not like you wrote about some current events or anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, poems can live forever, you know. And you should find someone to put some music into these words, you know.
Well, see, this is the thing. The two things is, first of all, the original reason I started writing like I did was because I got so fed up with all the – I'm standing at the baggage carousel. You know, all these people on Facebook wrote these, you know, I'm waiting at the curb for my cab.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
there's got to be
like
something
we really
more
want to
it.
Know about
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah, you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Exactly.
Great.
I'm sitting
yeah.
on my deck drinking a beer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the actual, most of the book is actual music. And I've been blessed enough to run into a friend of mine from 20 years ago who has actually taken stuff I've written 20 years ago and put it to music.
So cool.
When I go home, this is all going to be put to music.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that'll be cool.
That's really
and then,
cool.
Yeah, and then Kara can sing the song.
La 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 la. Yeah.
Kara, when is your performance? Why don't you go ahead and plug it?
It is March 3rd at Molly Malone's, in between 6th Street and 3rd, off of Fairfax in West Hollywood, 7:30 p.m. $8. It's called Gold, Pure Gold, basically an old-fashioned rock.
Yeah. That's cool, huh?
But
yeah.
Wait, there's more. If you buy, come right now, you get a free set of these matching Ginsu knives.
There you go. You can do voiceover.
Hold
yeah.
on. We got another call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
This is Roman.
My cousin Roman.
Oh, Roman.
Mm-hmm. It is. What's up, Tommy?
What are you doing, cuz?
I'm just listening to you on the radio.
Hi, man.
And I had to get I had to get Lois to conference me in because I couldn't make the long distance call.
I got you. All right.
Sounds wow. cool. So you're cousins?
Yeah, we're cousins.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you live in Florida too, I take it.
Yeah, he's Bahamas.
Oh, you're in the Bahamas.
Bahamas.
Oh, I see.
I'm in Nassau.
Oh, I see. That's why he patched through her. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like the same number
yeah.
and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Wow, that's pretty cool. So you live in the Bahamas. I can't believe this. Somebody actually lives there.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's all my family there.
What is it like living there? What's like, do you get sick of seeing ocean or are you just so happy? I mean, I've heard different stories.
Oh, no, man. The ocean is awesome. It's beautiful down here. I run out of things to do every once in a while, but then that's when you stay home and, like, write.
Oh, cool. Do you write as well?
Whatever.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Oh,
I
really?
I do.
Create a family.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you have to do in the Bahamas than to sit back and write, you know?
Wow.
Let the waves crash and put us to sleep.
There you go. So, I mean, how old are you there?
I'm 21.
Roman, 21?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're young, man. So what do you do there? I mean, do you go to school? Do you work?
Well, I was working, but primarily I write like Tommy does, and I play in a band. I sing in a band.
That's cool.
And right now, that's about it.
Yeah. Sounds good, man. So you write poetry too?
I do.
Yeah.
Writes very well.
Yeah. So, you got to come out with a book too, then, man.
We're working on it.
I don't know if I'm that good.
Yeah, you're good enough.
Yeah. Poems don't have to be good or bad, man. Poems are like an expression, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're able to express your feelings and stuff, I think you've done it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What kind of band are you in?
Definitely about emotion.
What kind
I play in a rock band.
Rock, wow.
You still playing with Collective?
Yeah. Pardon?
Are you still playing with the Collective?
Oh, no. We're in a new one called Autorize now. It's the same drummer, same bassist, mm-hmm. same singer. We had to get a new guitarist, though, Tommy.
Yeah, okay.
And where do you guys perform?
Yeah.
Like in tourist places and stuff?
We perform at, like, Hard Rock Cafe. There's a rock club down here called Crazy Johnny's. Waterloo, all kinds of places, man.
Sounds
like we
cool.
got the venues on lock.
Yeah.
You got it on lock. I love it. On lockdown.
Yeah. Let me tell you, man, you got the life.
I want to come over there. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, is there a lot of pretty girls down there in the Bahamas?
Oh, Bahama Mama.
Bahama Mama?
Ooh, they're Bahama Mamas.
Yeah.
What was the pausing for? Was that a good pause or a bad pause?
Yeah, he's trying to count how many he's had.
It was a bad pause?
It was a bad pause.
Why?
I wait for spring break. For spring break.
Because then the tourists come.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all
What's the deal with just the native women there?
Be careful. I don't know. It's weird down here. It's like you got I don't know how should I say this.
Be careful, Cuz. Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Okay, you don't have to answer that.
Yeah. I'm not gonna answer that one.
I'm so in the dark. Okay, maybe it's just the grass is greener type thing. You know.
There you go. Yeah.
Sometimes.
No, well, Tommy knows what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, Roman. Thanks so much for calling
thanks
in,
for
man.
Calling.
I mean, you made the effort to call from the Bahamas.
Man.
That's cool.
Yeah, man, no problem.
All right.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later, all right?
Yeah, I hope I'll see you soon, cuz.
Okay, thanks,
cuz. All right, bro.
Be well now.
Bye.
Cousins are cool.
Yep.
No, I grew up with a couple of cousins and stuff. Unfortunately, we don't speak now, and we haven't for years.
Is that a bad thing? Or just
it's
just
a bad thing.
Oh, is it lost touch or no?
No, not lost touch,
oh, it's
but
like,
deliberately, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you know, people turn on you, man. They get older, and you don't even recognize them anymore.
It's unfortunate.
I just don't see you really pissing people off too much, Sam.
No, I didn't piss people. Well, no, they pissed me off.
Oh, so did you deliberately cut off?
It was sort of mutual and stuff.
Really?
You know? Yeah. But I've got younger cousins now, and things are cool. You know, I don't. There's not a lot of like infighting and stuff in my family. You know, it's pretty cool. It also depends which side of the family you're talking about, but. You know, actually, on one side, there is quite a bit of bitterness, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is with families and stuff.
Family's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Yeah. What about you, Tommy? Is your family in the Bahamas or New York?
My father and my mother still live in New York. My older sister is there, and my younger sister's in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
And the bulk of the rest of my family is still in the islands.
I see. Okay.
And my mom's side is from Alabama, but I think most of them have pretty much passed on.
Yeah. Maybe
one or two. My uncle, my mom's brother, and I think only one of their uncles left.
Yeah. It seems like, it's amazing how many people, move from New York to Florida and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. It won't be me.
No, it won't be you. You moved all the way west, man. Well, go west, young man.
I look at it this way. When I have to retire, I go home to the islands.
Mm.
And when I have to work, I'll come here.
Yeah. Well, when I retire, I'm going to go to the islands too, man.
Well, they got 2 feet of snow dropping on New York right now. I'll take this every day.
2 feet today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I guess you never get used to that snow, huh?
We've been really blessed there for the last 10 years. This is the first year we've had a lot of snow drop.
Really?
Feet of snow drop.
Yeah. When you lived in Detroit, did you, experience snow and stuff?
Yeah, actually, I actually went running in the snow, and I wasn't, I didn't have, the snow clothes, so I tried to do, the sledding thing, and I tried to, play in it for, a whole 2 minutes, uh-huh. and I learned my lesson. And, your clothes absorb all the snow, and it becomes icy cold, and you think your fingers are going to fall off. It's bitter. It's, bitter cold. Mm-hmm. I guess if you can go to some places that it's sunny and snowing and get all bundled up, and that might be fun.
Right.
But this was, kind of dreary, harsh, bitter, cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was not for me. And it's funny because I was moving back to LA. It was just a short temporary stay. And some of the ladies that I was working with said, get out now. And I was
really?
What happens? They said, people hibernate. They don't get out. Everybody stays indoors. They eat. They gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody leaves. So you go, you're in the road or, driving, and you just don't see people. It's like a ghost town because people are in their little pods trying to stay warm.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it's another way for people to feel isolated and.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, people just do whatever's comfortable. So I'm, it's not for me.
Yeah.
That's another reason I'm moving out here. The last couple of years, the isolation you're talking about
mm-hmm.
is depressing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I walked out into my bed, into my kitchen one morning 3 weeks ago, and it was supposed to be a beautiful sunny day, and the next thing I know, it looked like it was,
Really?
Dusk.
Really?
And I walked into my kitchen and saw that the unexplained sun we were supposed to have was a blizzard.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So they just made a little mistake.
Well, in New York,
in the forecast.
That's the only place you can be right half the time and still get away with it.
Really?
Wow. So how long were you in New York?
Bulk of my life.
Oh, okay. In New York, New York?
About an hour north of the city.
Oh, okay. Okay, so what was life like there for you versus, being on the islands? Obviously, some of the different things, like an awesome beach and a pina colada for breakfast. But other than that...
Actually, no, it was more like fish for breakfast, fish for dinner,
oh,
fish
really?
For lunch.
Really? Fish all the time?
My father has 5 brothers, and the bulk of them are fishermen.
I see,
and
okay.
during season, they're lobster fishermen.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Lobster cereal, lobster coffee.
That's beautiful. You go out and you live off the land. You eat what you catch. And
okay.
Yeah,
that's a little intense, though, right?
It's not unheard of for me and my father and my uncles and a couple of my cousins to just pick a rock out in the middle of the Atlantic and set up some tents and
really?
Live there for a few days. Yeah.
Wow.
What about, clothing? Do you have to, go skin a rabbit and make your own. You said live off the land. It's not like that, right? You're not like.
I can see me now walking around with a conch shell on my private.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's
not Gilligan's Island, and we're not talking,
So what do you mean by live off the land? Because then what do you mean?
If there's birds there, you eat their eggs for breakfast. If you catch your fish in the ocean, you eat that for lunch.
Okay.
You live off of. The environment.
Yeah, you see.
So my
that's
question.
How the other half
I
lives.
Love to cook. So you
mm-hmm,
get your
so
little, you get your you get your little your eggs. Do you guys just cook them up, or do you have salt and pepper and
mm-hmm.
Okay, you do. And then your lobster, you don't just eat it, right? You have garlic butter and stuff. I'm just making sure. because you're not,
sure, yeah, it's
because you're not
gonna
real
meal.
Quick go churn butter and find some garlic and make it work.
Churn my own butter and.
Yeah, and in the islands, you're gonna have that on. You're gonna have some freaking salted butter, right? Ready to rock. With your lobster, right?
Well, that depends.
Yeah, that depends what restaurant you go to.
Yeah.
By the way, talking about seafood and stuff, have you been to Tony Roma's at all for ribs and things like
mm-hmm.
that? And have you, Kira?
I actually haven't, no.
No, there's one down the street, actually, from here. But Tony Roma's are all over. and they have like the best ribs anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they came out with this new appetizer that we had the other day, which is shrimp, but it kind of, it's a little spicy, it's a little crunchy, you know, because it's fried, but it's it kind of tastes like a sweet and sour Chinese thing or something. This thing is like, I mean, mouth-watering. I can't tell you how good this fucking thing is.
Really?
And so we went back a couple days later just for that again, you know.
Tore it up.
It was amazing, yeah. So seafood can be real good. I love seafood, you know. I would imagine too much of it, you'd get tired of it too. But
well, that was the reason by the time I was 12, I didn't like fish at all.
Really? Yeah, yeah, you've had enough of fish. Yeah.
Every aunt I went to, they had a platter of lobster tail set up because they just knew I wasn't eating fish.
Yeah, I mean, you can only do so much, especially as a kid. Like, that's just not a kid food. Like, you know, fish-a-roni and cheese or, you know, like, you just, you don't want, I
fish
mean.
Fish sticks.
Yeah, I mean, fish sticks came out for kids because it's like deep-fried batter so that kids will actually eat it. But yeah, kids aren't into fish.
Doesn't even taste it like fish at all.
Yeah, you're not going to, yeah,
well,
it's
see,
not.
Now that's the thing. If it tasted like fish, I wouldn't want to eat it. It doesn't taste like fish. I like it.
Yeah, you like it, right?
Yeah, yeah, fishy taste. It's like,
ugh, I hear
well, I guess that depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 923-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
Every night, every night, every night.
and we have Tommy Bahamas in the studio.
That's
how
good.
He calls himself.
I love that.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Tommy Bahama.
Yeah. It's Bahama. I'm sorry, Bahama.
Tommy Bahama.
Did you guys hear that they're discontinuing the Hummer, the car?
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah,
the
Why?
Car, the
Why?
Tank. Because they're friggin' tanks. Nobody buys them anymore.
Yeah, but they've been tanks for a long time. Why are they now tanking, literally?
Ba-dum-ching. Yeah. I don't know, because I guess General Motors decided that this is not part of their strategy, you know, to have this car anymore. And I always questioned why they even make them, you know? Mm. I mean, they're gas guzzlers like crazy. And the only people I've seen them, I've seen drive them is guys with probably little dicks, you know, that need some kind of, some kind of.
Have you checked out their little?
No, but I can imagine, you know. Otherwise, who the hell would buy something like this?
Well, I mean, what about the big guys that drive big trucks? And same thing, little dicks.
Maybe that's the case. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, trucks is a little different, I think, you know, because some people are just into trucks, period. You know, but with a Hummer, I mean, they're very expensive.
Then what about Escalades?
What about
they're ridiculous.
They're
yeah,
bigger,
they're huge,
right? Or,
yeah.
No, they're about the same.
Yeah,
the
nothing's
same.
Bigger than the Hummer, though.
They're about the same.
I think the Hummer was originally developed for the military.
Yeah, the first one.
They were going to sell it publicly because people wanted them.
The original ones are cool, the ones that the military uses and stuff. But that's just the thing. Why does anybody need a car that the military uses, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's especially popular in L.A. I would imagine that, you know, anywhere else, nobody even bothers with them.
What, a Hummer?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure if they were successful, they would still be making them. But so I guess General Motors tried to sell it to another company, and that fell through, so they're just going to discontinue them, you know, and fade it out and stuff. So these are going to become classics soon, you know. Mm. Well, maybe not so soon. I saw one driving yesterday, and I thought, yeah, you want this to be classic, you're going to have to wait 50 years, you know?
It's true. That's
yeah,
true.
Keep it around.
How much were they? How much were Hummers?
They're like probably 80 grand or
really?
Something. Yeah, easily.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand anybody that spends that kind of money on a car, you know? Well, I would imagine if I was a millionaire, I probably would have done the same thing, you know?
You and a Hummer?
I don't know if I was going to.
No, not a Hummer, but an $80,000 car.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm
mean,
sure
80,
you can find something better for $80,000.
Yeah, and 80 grand. I mean, for some places and some other places in the U.S., that's the cost of a home.
Yeah.
Not here, clearly.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
like a down payment, but still.
Or you can buy the toilet here.
Yeah, you
can
buy the toilet.
Yeah.
But you buy a knob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gold-plated knob for your toilet. $80,000.
Yeah, you can do that. But still, 80 grand, man.
Yeah. Tommy, New York is pretty expensive, too, as far as real estate.
It depends. The further north you go, the less it becomes. But
oh, really?
I'd say.
But around the city, like in the like Queens and things like that, it's still expensive, right?
I think so. Yeah. So Westchester, where I grew up, is probably it's the second largest richest county in the country.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of million-dollar houses. That's what my father and I ended up doing for the bulk of my youth.
Mm-hmm.
We built custom housing all over Westchester County.
Oh, nice! Wow.
From the ground up, everything.
Oh, wow!
Really? So you should build your own home. Once you're here, yeah.
Very strong.
There you go. If you can afford the real estate, that is, you know. I mean, my God, you know, the prices here are like just, you know, out of proportion.
Are you a homeowner here?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Not a homeowner. Mm-hmm. I'm an apartment dweller.
Yeah, me too. But it's weird, like when you own a home in LA, it's like you've made it, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of people now that have houses that wish they hadn't.
Well, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Because some people are upside down on the house. They owe more than it's worth, you know?
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah. And so in that case, I'm not happy that I don't have one. I mean, I'm not sad that I don't have a house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it could easily go the other way.
Very true.
I totally hear you.
Yeah.
Not that I really I don't have it to have a home right now, but yeah, you know,
okay.
It's great,
young,
whatever, you know, who needs a home?
Exactly,
fine.
You'll meet a rich man, and
I will be rich, Sam, and then,
you will be rich.
Yes, I'm not going to just, you know.
But not based on marriage, you're going to make yourself rich.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to happen one day in the right time.
Right.
It's just going to fall from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to win the lottery.
Right onto your lap. Yeah.
No, I just believe, you know, I'm going to make my own way. It's going to happen. But no, it's funny. I met a man the other day and we were talking, cool guy. And he was just like, and he's from Israel. He was like, he's like, you're at that age. He's like, you are at the age where you are ripe. You need to marry well. Very
I'm
bad
trying
accent.
To place the accent.
It's a bad accent. I've got it. But he's like, yeah, you need to marry well. You know, you are from Israel.
Yeah.
But he was like,
that sounds like Arnold to me.
Anyway, he was trying to tell me that I'm at that age where I'm kind of at my peak and I need to I need to marry up right now.
I see. And he's like, he is the right one? Is that what
he was
saying?
No, not for him, not with him, but he was trying to give me some good old advice. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to go ahead and just live life and, you know, live life and be something great.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So,
thanks, Sam.
What can I say?
Good for you. Anyway.
Yeah.
Everything is his own purpose. All things happen in their own time for the better of the good.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So now they, you remember Brittany Murphy who died in December,
yes.
Right? And I guess they released the coroner report, and they're saying that she had a lot of medication to treat cold or respiratory infection.
That's what they're saying.
You know, so it's not like it was any drugs, I think, to get high or anything.
Mm.
And but it's so unfortunate, you know. I mean, she was just beautiful, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And people get caught up in all these drugs and everything, and you know, I mean, you know, you were talking about, you know, you don't believe in drugs and medication and stuff. And I think, you know, sometimes people take it for the right reasons, but it ends up killing them, you know?
Yeah, I didn't say I don't believe in it. I just think that I think generally as a culture, we're over-medicated. Mm. But I mean, I definitely think there's a place for it. But yeah, I think this probably brings a lot of peace to her family because all these allegations came out that it was possibly because of this, that, and the other. And that's probably hard to hear, you know, your daughter's deceased and I mean the tabloids fly and everybody's got an opinion. I mean she was really really thin.
Very true.
And you know there was so many different types of drugs were suspect and then you find out oh she just had a bad combination of inhaler medication.
Bad interaction.
I mean which is sad and unfortunate at the same time it probably brings peace you know to that family.
In
fact, I think her husband reacted that way publicly and said, thank God, see, I didn't do this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She wasn't like that.
Yeah. Was he being accused of...
No, I think that there was just so much, gossip about the speculation of her doing drugs or being on drugs.
I remember that.
And, you know...
It's hard, man, to go through that after you just lost your wife and, like...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, it's almost heinous to put that kind of... gossip and paparazzi inquirer-esque type of drama onto somebody.
It's the way the machine works, doesn't it? I mean, it's just
pretty much.
It's a machine, man.
Yeah, it's a machine.
The media,
a perfect machine too. Let me tell you about the death of that whale trainer. Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're saying now that killer whales are neurotic in captivity, you know? So what do they expect when they start playing around with them? And how many times has it happened that all these trainers with the wild animals end up getting killed by those very animals?
Right.
Remember that crocodile hunter thing?
Yeah,
you know,
and Siegfried and...
I totally forgot about that one. But
so you're saying that they're neurotic in captivity, meaning like...
They get very stressed out, they say.
That's what I've heard.
In captivity. So, you know, I mean, to us, we sit there, we watch the show, we think, oh, they're happy and stuff. It looks like they even have smiles on their faces, those whales. But for crying out loud, they call it a killer whale, you know?
I mean, let's be honest. They're probably back underneath the water, and they're reconvenient, and they've got, like, chalk on the pool, and they're like, okay, this is the day we're breaking out. I'm taking that bitch down. You grab her by the ankle. We're getting out. We're getting to the ocean. We could just feel the ocean.
Yeah.
Free will.
That's probably what happened, yeah. I mean, they're pretty intelligent animals. Maybe it was a conspiracy.
I think they're saying there's two different theories. The first report that came out, it was from onlookers and said that the actual whale did grab her by the arm and took her under.
Right.
And then the actual company was SeaWorld was saying, no, she slipped and fell. So it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
But either way, if she slipped and fell.
Yeah, I mean, this is someone who works with them, you know, supposedly they have a close relationship with the with the whales and stuff, you know, and then the whale turns on you, you know, but that's the thing. You can't go and blame the animals, you know. They just do what they want to do. They don't have such thing as revenge and
it's instinctual.
You know, yeah, you know, and they try to survive, you know.
Yeah, you cage them and you don't let them get out there and do their thing and let them be like all the other whales.
Right.
Get to play whale games.
Yeah, that's the thing, whale games. I mean, because I was actually reading on a previous death, that was at SeaWorld, and they said that there was just kind of horseplay for the whales. You know, they were just playing around and stuff, and they killed the trainer. You know.
Oh, so it wasn't an attack. It was like trying to play.
Yeah, that was a previous one though, not this one.
Oh, and did help me out here. So the whale, when he grabbed her, did he just basically drown her underwater, or
you mean this time?
Yeah, yeah. Did he bite her? Do they bite? I don't know much about killer whales.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah, they bite. They definitely bite. Yeah.
So like, did he chew her up, or?
I don't know. I don't know that that was the case really. I don't think it was about chewing them up.
No, my understanding is he grabbed her and brought her under, and she drowned.
Yeah.
She just couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
But again, I'm
and you know, yeah, he could be
so
playing.
Sad.
You know,
so
you
sad.
Never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. They weigh 12,000 pounds, man. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, apparently, you know, when they, like, there's a whale called Shamu and that? Mm-hmm. Apparently, all of them are called Shamu.
They're all called Shamu.
Yeah, you know, they all have sort of, like, the same name, you know, and maybe internally they have different names for them. But it's not like there's one Shamu and then there's another one with a different name. It's just that's what they call the
killer
whales.
Like, yeah, maybe, like, Shamu's, like, the character name for the show.
Yeah.
You'll be playing, you guessed it, Shamu today.
Yeah.
Suit up, get ready. Well, I want to play Shamu. You'll get your turn next week. Your Shamu next week.
Yeah. But, wow. You know, I mean, it's pretty sad stuff, but I still don't get it. You know, I mean, it's part of the job, I think. If you get involved with wild animals, you can expect something like that, you know?
You know what kind of freaks me out, though, is, like, crocodiles. I wouldn't want to be trying to wrestle a crocodile. That stuff, they just look slimy and scaly and mean. Mm-hmm. And then the kind of water that they take you in and drown you in isn't like chlorinated pools. Not that it makes it better, but it's swampy, muddy water. Mm-hmm. And then they find a rock underneath the water and they tuck you in there and they let you, you know, decay a bit. And then they come back and have a lunch.
Yeah.
Do you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do. My biggest concern is their big mouths and the teeth.
That too. And the fact that the water's unsanitary. That
yeah.
too.
But, you know, crocodiles are like the closest thing we have to like prehistoric animals. You know, I mean, apparently they have not evolved for like, you know, many, many years, millions of years.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of characteristics that the dinosaurs did, you know. So it's
another reason.
you look at it and you go, yeah, that's not a modern animal, you know.
Yeah, you're like,
all the scales.
It's another reason not to jack with them, you know.
Yeah.
This is true.
Just let them go.
You're right. Who would want to anyway? I mean, you got to be crazy, you know.
It could be like those people things. In Florida. All of a sudden, they come out into their kitchen one morning. There's a crocodile sitting there, and you know, hanging out.
Does that happen really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in Florida, it does happen.
Like there's really like in the suburbs, or like somebody that lives on a swamp.
No, this is just basic people living, and they come up through the backyard and come right into the house.
So how do you avoid that? You just don't live near a swamp.
You make sure you have really
don't live
really
in Florida.
Secure,
period.
Really secure patio doors.
But I mean, they don't. They'd have to be. They come from water, like so. You would need to not live in a watery area.
Well, that's then don't live in Florida at all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like the entire state of Florida.
That's true. There's a lot of water there.
But Orlando's not very watery.
That's because they built it up. I remember when I was like 8 or 9 years old going with my family. Out in the middle of this huge swamp, and all there was a sign and a trailer that said "Future Place of Disney World." It was nothing but marsh. It
really?
Was nothing but wetness.
Oh,
wet
I
lands.
See. Okay.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. Have you been to SeaWorld?
I've not.
I mean, not to SeaWorld, to Disney World.
I've been to Disney World. Yeah.
Yeah.
A long time ago, I was a little kid.
Yeah.
It's amazing. As a kid, it's just like this whole different universe.
Yeah. What about Disneyland? Did you go here?
No, because you've been to Disney World. You're like, what's the point?
Exactly. There's not much to do here at this one, you know?
No, I mean, which is funny because a lot of people come to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. You know, they come to LA. They're like, we're going to do this, and we're going to Disneyland. I'm like, Disney World is where it's at. I mean, it's just this whole different, you know?
Right.
And I went when I was a kid, so that was a long time ago. I'm sure now it's even, I think now, like, I actually went about, I don't know, 8 years ago to an audition there, and they had, like, downtown Disney with all the adult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I don't know why you'd go to, like, Disneyland.
Yeah. Because, well, I think usually people that come from abroad and stuff, like from the Pacific and that, it's closer to them, I think, you know, so... That's why they do it. But you're right. I mean, I'm dying to go to the one in Orlando. You know,
have you never been?
And I'm not into Disney that much. But you know, the Epcot Center and all these
really
things.
It's really clean and big. And you really, I can't remember how many acres or whatever, but it really is like you're transported.
Right.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like, it takes days to go through the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Whereas I think the one in, here is what they say. It's 54 Disneylands fit into one Disney World.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 54. Yeah. So there you go. Disney World's where it's at.
Yeah.
I have a really good girlfriend who, she's like super sweet, like from Texas, and she's like, when I get married, I won't, and my honeymoon, I won't go to Disney World. I talk about my honeymoon being Disney World. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's not very sexy. She's like, no, it's going to be great. We're going to have Disney World honeymoon sex, and we're going to go ride Disney World rides and see Mickey Mouse and hang out. I'm like, oh my gosh. But she's like so into Disney World. Like, she's planning on that's everything.
Really?
She's probably gonna, she has her first kid. They're probably going to have it on like the Dumbo ride or something.
Yeah.
I had my first baby on Space Mountain.
Yeah. Like, she's just like so into like Disney World. That's where she wants to have her honeymoon.
Yeah. So, Tommy, have you ever been married?
No, never been married.
Never been married, huh?
Three times almost.
Really?
Yep.
Three times almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened?
I always asked God if there was ever a reason that I shouldn't do it, let me know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Three times almost he did.
Really, huh?
Wow, like you found out one's an axe murderer, or what happened?
The first one, our parents got involved.
What? Hold on. Wait a second. The first potential wife, y'all's parents decided to hook up?
No. They kept us apart.
Oh, I was so confused.
You're a couple steps ahead.
I thought that they decided, hey, guys, we're going to go ahead and explore this romance. If you could put a, oh, I thought that... Never mind. Do you know where I'm going with that?
I know where you're going with that.
That would be interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
My ex-fiance is now my sister.
That's not illegal, is it? Is it illegal if...
Not at all.
It's like if your parents... Like your mom and your wife's dad decided to get married.
Yeah, they can do it. It's not incest or anything.
Yeah.
It's different blood, different everything.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Continue. Anyway, back to you. It stressed me out for a second.
So they got involved in the
we didn't realize any of this until May last year, and it was 25 years ago. We only just found out about it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That they were pushing you apart? Is that what was happening?
Well, the short version is that I was in the service at the time, and I was writing poetry and music and stuff to her. She was younger than I was. Her father was a cop. And she was broken up by the fact that I left. And they kept my mail from her. They kept her mail from me. And we thought the two of us just drifted apart. And we never realized that it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah,
it's like The Notebook. That's what they did in The Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. But like they reconvene like in their later 20s and she goes, I know the whole scene. Okay, she goes, why didn't you write me? He goes, what? I wrote you. She's like, you wrote me? He's like, I wrote you 365 letters. I wrote you every day for a year. You wrote me? He's like, it's not over and it still isn't over.
Here's the interesting thing. After 25 years, I found out I made the right decision.
Really?
Oh, okay, so like 25 years later, you're like, thank God that the mail never got delivered.
Well, no, at that time, it probably would have been different. But 25 years later, I said, whew, twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. At different points in your life, you get involved with different people, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people in my past that I would never hang out with right now, you know?
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, like, different, you know? People become so different. And especially for me, since I left Israel, I was 16. So, you know, when you go back there now and you see people, they're not the kids you used to know, you know? I mean, we're different people now.
You said that earlier, like, how your cousin's turning and all that stuff. And, like, it's like age really ferments. Like, it can really... Either people become more open or more hardened or something.
Yeah, I mean, you just evolve into something else, you know, and you're not a kid anymore.
Mm.
You know, although you remember those relationships from when you were a kid, but they're not like that anymore, you know.
See, that's ironic, though, because the people who I connected with this past year, as soon as I was in their presence, it was like they were still.
Mm.
They reverted back to the people they were 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And some of them still act that way, believe it or not.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know. I have a theory that being single, never married, and no children, I think has... I think ultimately it's God, but I think that has kept me very young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I think something about entering into that part of your life, which is great and beautiful and everything, I think it just comes with a whole different... It's just so not about you anymore, you know?
Right.
And so I think it takes a lot out of you. And I think you see it ages people. And it's a good thing, but it's still, you know, you see like people...
Yeah, kids change your life forever. I mean, the moment that kid is born, that's it. Your life changed forever, you know? And, yeah, it depends how you take it. Some people take it, you know, in stride. And some people, it's difficult for them.
Yeah.
You know?
But you loved it, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, what do you want me to say? Yeah, at my later age, yeah, it's nice to have someone. You know, I mean, I've not always been like that. You know, I mean, there was times where, I mean, in my 20s, I played the field like crazy. You know, I mean, partying all the time. That was in the 80s. You know, and it was just a great time. But I think comes a point in your life where you just, I mean, when I got married the first time, I had planned not to marry till I was 30. Mm-hmm. And but I got married at 27 when I met this girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my first child was when I was 30. But it changed my life forever. But at that time, we welcomed it. You know, we welcomed that change. We wanted it. So it's different. But many people don't realize, you know, they want kids and stuff. But your life will never be the same.
Very true.
You know?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's in the future for you? What? So you say you're into broadcasting and stuff like that.
I am.
So I mean, are you gonna like continue taking photos and events and things like that? And
right now, if everything works out right, I'm going to be considering a book tour.
Yeah.
And we're gonna see what's gonna happen. Right now, I'm looking at Miami in the first week in April.
Really?
And I get back to New York the 3rd next week, and I'm going to try to wrap everything up I can to get out here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to just take a trip down the East Coast and say goodbye to everybody in the coast. And
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. That'll be cool. And so, you know, another thing you might want to get involved in is like going to Barnes & Noble and doing readings and stuff like that.
It's
Borders.
Been suggested.
Yeah, you know, because your book is a classic for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people like that stuff. I mean, they eat it up, you know.
Well, the website that I have, I'm going to have the actual audio readings of my book.
Really?
So can
wow, that'll be cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, audiobooks and everything. I mean,
that's cool, man. I like it.
This guy is going to be rich and famous, and I'm going to have to call your secretary and make appointments with you.
Yeah.
By June.
Yeah.
June. Let's kickstart it. It's awesome.
Yep. Well, that's cool, man. So you're going back when?
Wednesday, the 3rd.
You're going back Wednesday, mm-hmm. and then you're going to come back in April.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It's not easy moving to another town. I mean, it's hard to move within the same city sometimes, mm-hmm. just having to pack everything and stuff like this. But what are you going to do with all your stuff?
Well, I own a 3-bedroom condo in New York right now.
Uh-huh.
I've been diligently consolidating things and getting rid of things, planning toward this for about a year.
So, yeah.
I mean,
are
I
you
going
to sell the condo there?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
We bought it for $38,000. I think it's worth $240,000 now.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. How long ago was that?
96.
96. Wow. So see, there you go. You made quite a bit there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Good investment.
So that should help you move and stuff like that.
The good news is I'm pretty self-sufficient on my own.
Yeah.
So I'm not really worried about
it. Don't need a rich lady to take care of you or anything?
They've got websites for it. They do.
Oh, man.
No, I don't need that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, Kara, what are your plans for the weekend?
Well, Sarah, I've got a gig tomorrow night as a wing woman. I told you about that.
Yeah, that's right, huh?
Basically.
Oh, so you decided to take it?
I mean, I'm trying it out. It's 3 hours. It pays really well.
Yeah.
I'm being paid to go out with a guy. It's not like that, but I'm being paid to help him.
Yeah, like what do you expect? You know, he's going to see you there. He's going to go, forget about other women, you know, let's go home together.
No, no. It's basically I'm being paid to help him find and meet women and get phone numbers.
Really?
It's the same concept as a wingman, you know, like you get with a guy.
Sure.
And
mm-hmm.
But with a woman, it's like you're more approachable. It's kind of like I will help initiate the conversations and then integrate him into the conversations and help him basically, you know, strategize how to meet women. The only thing is that we're going to a club, and honestly, I just don't think that's going to be successful.
Really?
Well,
it
clubs,
doesn't happen in clubs. So where would you go with him?
I mean,
to be honest,
if he's serious about really meeting a woman, I would say let's go. Let's just go to coffee shops. Let's go to bookstores. Let's go into real world situations.
But doesn't that depend on the guy?
It does, and I'm not going to tell him what to do. But I'm just saying if he really wants to meet people and actually have conversations, or go to mixers or something like that. Yeah. But like, you know, clubs are just their meat markets. Even girls. I mean, you can meet people that are normal. I mean, I go to clubs. I like it, but people are in a different mindset, and it's too loud. You can't have real conversations, and it's just that the vibe of it is so skeezy.
Yeah.
Even if it's a good club, and this is a nice club, this isn't like a gross place, but it's still kind of like, you know, yeah, exactly. Everybody's in a different zone. It's a different. You're gonna be like, hey, I love that necklace you're wearing.
Yeah.
Can I buy you a drink?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder how much the guy has to pay for something like this for the service. Wow.
I know what I'm making, but I'm sure it's double.
So obviously he has to pay more.
I'm probably getting half, so he's probably paying double.
Wow.
This sounds bad, but it's legitimate. I'll report in. Like, I just go on these. I go on adventures like this and.
Yeah.
See,
I don't know. It's an Israeli guy. I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
You said the boss is Israeli, right?
He is. Is there something wrong with that?
Yeah, no. I'm kidding.
Is there?
I'm kidding.
He's funny, though. He's a little wheeler and dealer. That's
really?
He's young.
Really? How old is he?
I think he's in his mid-20s. He's
really?
Young. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, get a baby, how you doing? Hey, I got a gig for you on Saturday. Can you show up? Okay. It's only 3 hours.
I'm going to have to send you to learn some accents.
I just haven't. First of all, I'm great with accents, but I need to hear it. And I don't hear enough accents. Like, yours is very slight.
Yeah, right.
It's very, very slight.
Yeah. But yeah, someone just off the boat, you know, they...
You need it, yeah. I know, like, Israel, they say that a lot. I say, Israel!
That's funny, I live in New York and I've never heard it said like that.
No.
Well, ask around.
Well, she's a Texan.
Yeah,
what
whatever, so, Israel!
All right, well, Tommy, thank you so much for joining us, man.
My pleasure.
It's been fun. I know we've been looking forward to it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're finally here, and that was cool. Now you get to see the studio.
Yes.
Where you hear the show every day. And so good luck with the book. Congratulations, really. I mean, it's amazing, you know?
Yeah, we're doing the official launch for the website on the 20th in spring, first day of spring.
Okay.
And it's
and that's
my name.
TLBethel.com.
That's correct.
Right?
Is there any dots in the TL or no, just TL Bethel?
You can't put dots.
You can't put the dots on the...
I didn't know that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
In the internet.
Yeah,
oh.
You can just put it
like
in front of a dot com.
Kara.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay, good.
All right.
Good to know. I didn't know that.
All right, then, Kara, you have a great weekend.
You too. Have fun with your hike.
Don't get too. And I'm looking forward to hearing the story about the ring woman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
That would be cool.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah. All right, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.